At least several of you have found yourselves at various times in difficult, if not impossible, situations. I must confess that I don't function awfully well when I'm confronted with what appears to me to be insuperable odds. There are some things about which I have great and abounding faith. Then there are times in my life when it just seems as though all my faith flies out the window. And I seem to have no confidence in the Lord whatever. And I become worrisome and fretful. And I have found that I am not one who abounds in great with great faith in what I would call impossible situations. I hope it's better with you. But tonight I want us to consider an incident in the life of the people of God where they were indeed facing an absolutely impossible situation. You see, the enemy, the Syrians in this case, had completely encamped about the people of God in Samaria. Completely. All the way around them, they were surrounded. And what they succeeded in doing is simply shutting out any possible food getting through. And all the Syrians had to do was to wait. They didn't have to fight. All they had to do was to wait until they starved the people into submission. This was their plan. And as the days went on, the situation within the city of Samaria became more and more desperate. It became so bad, in fact, that one little incident that we read about that occurred at that time makes our spine tingle. One mother said to another, "Today, why don't you kill your son and we will eat him?" And they did. And the next day, it was to be the other woman's son. But in fear, she went and hid her son, as we might expect. I suppose that just tells us the desperate character of the experience they were in. There wasn't anything, not anything at all, that they could do. Now we read that there were four lepers who stood at the gate of that city, and they asked a very important question. They were lepers, which is interesting in its own right, because as a leper, they had an incurable disease, which was particularly loathsome, and one which separated them to some extent from the other people. And there are many questions that a person who is sick in body and mind and heart could ask. I suppose they could have asked, why did it happen to me? Or what did I do that brought such an affliction on me? But here was a time when they asked a question, I think, of unusual profundity. The whole incident is found in 2 Kings chapter 7. And the question that the people, the four, said to themselves is this: why do we sit here till we die? Why do we sit here till we die? Verse 3. They reasoned to themselves that they could go back into the city of Samaria. They were there at the gate, separated, no doubt, from the rest of the people because of the Mosaic law, which required that lepers be set apart. So they did not go into the city. They said, why not go into the city? If we go into the city of Samaria, where our people are, we will die from famine just as they. And so they felt that that was nothing to be gained. So they said, well, why not walk deliberately into the camp of the Syrians? Now remember, here's the city, completely encircled by the Syrians, who were simply waiting it out, that's all. So they said to themselves, instead of going into the city where we will surely die, along with everyone else, why not walk deliberately into the camp of the enemy? Perhaps they will have mercy on us. The most they could do would be to kill us, and then we'd die anyway, so it really doesn't matter. And the striking thing about this is that prior to this incident, the prophet of the Lord, Elisha, said, tomorrow, at about this same time, you will find so much food in Samaria, so much food that a large portion will sell for only a few pennies. It tells that a calf's head, which isn't exactly the most tender, I suppose, or meaty part of the animal, sold for 80 shekels of silver in those desperate times. But the prophet said, tomorrow at this time, there's going to be so much food in the city that you'll be able to buy great quantities for just a few pennies. Now, how could that possibly be? There's absolutely no place for food to come from. There was none in the city. People were dying from starvation. They were completely encircled by their enemies. And these four lepers decided to take a march of faith, I guess you could call it. Instead of walking into the city and dying with the rest, they turned and deliberately walked in the direction of the enemy's camp. And when they got there, they found the place forsaken. The camp of the enemy was empty. And laying around were all kinds of foodstuffs. They couldn't believe it. And they began to enjoy these things. And then they said, well, it's not right that we do this by ourselves. Let's go tell the people about it. But their own people couldn't really believe them. They said, no, it's some kind of trick. They're trying to get us to come out there and to take up all the spoils, and then they're going to spring on us. It's some kind of trick. They couldn't even believe the good news. But finally they did, and they found that the word of the prophet was fulfilled. Look at this passage. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of fine meal shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Verse 3. Now there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here till we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we shall die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. Now the thing I'm interested in tonight is what they did in the face of calamity. Remember, they really had very little to expect from the enemy. They did have a promise ringing in their ears of Elisha that somehow tomorrow, at this time, there'd be plenty of food. But there was no way they could see that being fulfilled. I don't know how much faith the 4 of them had in their heart. Maybe it was a move of desperation, really. Rather than just sit there and die or go into the city and die, they decided to do something. But they asked the question, why do we sit here and die? You know, the only point I want to make tonight is so simple, I'm almost embarrassed for its obviousness. But do you know my tendency, and I wonder if it's yours, when faced with what seems to be impossible odds and a situation in which I see no way out, I tend to ask the wrong questions. I ask those big questions, you know, why? Why did this happen? And you know, there aren't any answers oftentimes for those questions. You'll find sometimes we lose a loved one. And a person might ask what seems to them to be an inevitable question. Why did this have to happen? Well, you know, that's a question for which there really isn't an answer. It's locked up in the mystery of the grace of God and his sovereign power and so forth. But even if we knew the answer, it wouldn't bring the person back. Sometimes it seems to me that we become obsessed with asking those questions that would be fruitless even if we knew the answer. And I rather admire these 4 lepers who said, well, why should we just sit here and die? I mean, let's do something. Let's make the best of the situation and go where at least there is a glimmer of hope. Now, I think so often, I at least, and perhaps you, are paralyzed from action because the glimmer of hope is so dim that we wonder if it's worth the effort. I am not a gambling man. The odds have to be, I suppose, overwhelmingly in favor of success, or it would not appeal to me at all. If it seemed but a dim chance, I just wouldn't make the effort. But these people said, well, you know, why sit here and die? We'll die if we stay here. We'll die if we go into the city. Maybe we won't die if we walk right into the enemy's camp. I mean, that wasn't a very wise prospect. But it was the only thing open to them, and they did it. When they got there, they found the camp deserted. Look at it. So they arose at twilight, verse 5, to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses and the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come upon us. So they fled away in the twilight and forsook their tents, their horses, their asses, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Now that's an interesting development, don't you think? I mean, there was no sane reason for them to move. But do you know, there's an interesting verse in the Proverbs. It says a guilty man will run when no one's pursuing. I mean, they'll just run, you see. And these Syrians camped there, heard what they thought was the beating of hoofs and the marshaling of a great army, and they imagined that the king of Israel had hired his friends, the king of the Hittites, the kings of Egypt, and so forth, and they had encircled the Syrian forces, you see. Wasn't true. Not a bit of it was true. It didn't matter. They thought it was. And in fear, they fled. Sometimes God can banish those things that we so greatly fear in ways that seem almost silly to us. The things that fill us with terror and worry sometimes break with showers of blessings on our heads. Have you ever noticed? And somehow God is able to protect his people and to provide for them. And the fact that they didn't see how he could protect them or how he could provide was no hindrance whatever to the Lord, who has an infinite imagination and can devise ways of escape that never really occur to us. Remember, there was no army, not a single horse, not one, not a soldier. But they fled because they thought they heard an encircling army. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. This is too good to be true. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. I'm not surprised at their initial reaction. I mean, they had come upon the entire Syrian army resources, the whole thing. Just the four of them. I mean, this was their day to make a killing, as the saying goes. You know, absolutely no one to see them. The other people of God were in the city dying away from hunger and all the rest of it. Certainly weren't out there. The Syrians were gone, God knows where. And here were the four of them with all of the resources of the fleeing army. And they thought this was a time to bag a few things for themselves. So they searched the tent, took what they wanted, went and hid it, went back and did this to another tent. And then they got to thinking, you know, this is a day of good news. Because they remembered their brethren back in the village, dying of hunger and fear. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the Assyrians, and behold, there was no one there to be seen or heard. Nothing but the horses tied and the asses tied and the tents as they were. Then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told within the king's household. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have prepared against us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city. Well, that's a reasonable assumption. And one of his servants said, let some men take five of the remaining horses, seeing that those who are left here will fare like the whole multitude of Israel that has already perished. In other words, let's try it out and send just a few and see what happens to them. So they took two mounted men, and the king sent them after the army of the Syrians, saying, go and see. So they went after them as far as the Jordan, and lo, all the way was littered with garments and equipment which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a measure of fine meal was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Well, I only tell you this little story tonight just to encourage you, if you find yourself this week in a situation for which you do not see a way out, well, rather than sit there and pine, why will you die? Why not get up and move in the direction of at least the glimmer of light, however meager, and trust in the prophetic power of God, who is able to put your enemies to flight with just winds of rumors and just the sound of beating hoofs and marching feet. And then know that this is a glad day of good news, and rejoice in it.